time, hasn't it, since we were gathered together? 104 days, apparently. I didn't count them. Somebody just told me it was 104 days. But in that time, you know, it's become really apparent to me, more than ever before, that church is not something that you go to on a Sunday morning or for a midweek prayer meeting or something like that. It is a family that you belong to. And not just any family, although every family is precious, of course, but as Paul said in that passage, you're members of God's family. And even if we're separated for a time, as we have been, and I know many have also been separated from their natural families too, and that's been very hard for many, but we're not forgotten. We're still family, and we're still loved. And some have gone to great lengths to stay together, even though we weren't able to be together. And lots have contributed in so many ways to maintaining church family life. I hope we all felt that throughout. Most of us, I think, Phil and people said that they felt like they belonged. Every single person on this planet would probably have to admit that they long for a place where they belong. And although they're not always aware of it, every human being has a need within them. Even the most introverted and private people, they still feel a deep yearning in their hearts for genuine connections to other people. And for most people, the only place you can get that is with their close friends and perhaps the people that they work with each day. But relationships at work do tend to stay at work, don't they? And if we consider a relationship carefully, most of us would admit that when we really need help, when we really need to unburden something, when we really need to share, we wouldn't typically think of a workmate to do that. So who can we turn to then in order to meet these deep needs in our lives outside of our natural family? And not everybody's got that in their natural family, by the way. Many people have got broken and disrupted families, so they can't do that. So we hope here, and this is what our aim is, and it's always been it, at Cornerstone Family Church, is that you'd be able to feel that you can turn to Christ and to somebody who you're close to within the fellowship and trust in the church family. And the church is full of imperfect people, by the way, so you can't do it with everybody. Every group is imperfect, even our natural families. So not everyone will fit the bill for you. But let's be honest, if you can't find someone within the body, you're in the wrong church, or the church needs to close. It's as simple as that, isn't it? The church was designed by God to be that second family and to bring that support and that comfort. And that's why it says we're part of his family. So I've been in three churches in my life. And the first 17 years were in a church called Mount Chapel in Salford. It's kind of a brethren church. Brilliant. That's kind of where I got the idea before. You know, anyone can speak. Anyone can pipe up. We're all priests. We're all, even, doesn't matter, male, female. There's no pastors. And everybody's a priest in that environment. It's great. And we're always welcome when we go back there. We left because God led us on and moved us. And that was good at the time. We went to King's Church in Manchester. And we were there for 3 years. And again, we left there on wonderful terms because we were asked to take up the pastoral role here. Actually, it was Eddie who came to visit me on a Wednesday night after I'd preached on a Sunday morning and said, we'd like you to consider being a pastor. And I'd never considered that. Never thought about that. I didn't have any training for that or anything. So that's probably apparent, but never mind. But we went to Richard, our pastor, and said, what do you think? How do you feel? And he said, well, pray about it. And we prayed about it together. And he said, why don't you do this and do that? And he gave us good, sound, solid advice. And so 14 years later, we're still here. And that's good. So it sounds, doesn't it, like my Christian life and our family life and our relationship with the church has all been smooth runnings, doesn't it? Sounds like it's all been wonderful. But, you know, it hasn't. Because the church is a family. I've had disputes. We've had lots of family disputes over the years, but we've always got through them because that's what families do. They deal with each other and they deal with the difficulties and they come through. And if you expect smooth run-ins and everyone to do everything the way you want it done all the time, you will be disappointed. We come through tough stuff together. That's what families do. That's who families are. And occasionally, someone does take offense and you never see them again. But that isn't God's way. That's not how mature Christians behave, and it's not how family life works either. So I have disputes with my mum quite regularly. My mum, she can't grasp why I'm so religious. And she can't understand when I tell her I'm not religious. But she's still my mum. And sometimes she goes, she hits the ceiling, you know. She can be quite rude. But I still love her. Because every boy loves his mum. Because we're family. You can't just walk out on your family, can you? So, the book of Acts refers to the church as brothers in Christ. Those who believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ are part of the family of God. And the truth is that God wants us more than anything else to be a part of his family. He wants to be our father and we his children. And he wants us to live together in harmony with each other. And he says, Jesus said, if you love one another, that's so attractive to the people out there. They want some of that too. But if they see you fighting and all that, they think, I can get that anywhere. And off they go. Who wants to be a part of a family where they will be loved? I'll give you the answer. You don't have to tell me. Absolutely everybody on planet Earth wants to be loved. But what does that mean for us? What does it mean for you? It means that if you choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know everyone in this room has already done that, but Facebook, listen up. If you choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that means if you recognize that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, that you can't save yourself, and that Jesus died on a cross for you, you just believe on that. Look to the cross and be healed, be saved, become a part of the church, the family of God. It's not hard. Just do it now if you want. I'll wait a minute for you if you like, but you don't need me to. Just get on your knees now and say, Jesus, come in, and he's in. And that's how long it takes. However, taking the step, the next step, to become a part of a local church, that isn't as easy for most people. Because we've all been hurt at some point in our lives. And we're all afraid to make ourselves vulnerable. And do you know what? Playing a real part in the family of God and a real part in a local family church means being transparent, it means being authentic, it means being vulnerable, it can be risky, but you know what? Love is not easily offended, so we have to take those risks. Either that or just hide somewhere else. If you want to be a part of something, you have to take the risk. And every church family is unique, and people coming in for the first time looking at us lots, like we are right now, they think, oh, some of them are quite strange. And we are a bit strange, aren't we? Well, I am. You're probably not. But at Cornerstone Family Church, we've got two different congregations, and even they differ. They're quite different because of the people in them. The demographics differ. They're quite a lot older at the other church in the main. Well, there are some younger people there. But they will naturally be different because each family is different from any other. But, like all the other churches in the world who enjoy lively, passionate worship and practical Bible-based teaching, we enjoy being together in the presence of God. We love Jesus and we want to see people's lives transformed by Jesus. And quite often a lot of Christians want to transform other Christians' lives. So we have to forget all that. We don't want that. We want Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be working in us at his pace, doing what he needs. We're all in different places, so we need to trust him to do it. See, I'm not perfect. You probably knew that. But I do know I'm getting better. I mean, yesterday I didn't think I was. I think I was getting worse. But overall, I'm kind of on an upward. You know, it does do that now and again. It's a bit like shares, isn't it? But overall, I'm not what I was 34 years ago when I first came into the kingdom. And you'd be glad about that. But I know I'm not finished. Jesus is working on me the same as he's working on you. We're in different places in the journey. We're excited about what God's doing among us here. We're excited, but we also recognize this is not the only place where Jesus is at work. So if God's placed you in this church, then your story, the story of your journey in Christ, becomes woven in and it becomes a part of the unique, bigger picture of this church. You're part of our unique story. And we want to share your story. That's why I said before, has God spoken to anybody? Has anybody got any testimonies? We want to hear what God is doing in your life. And whether you're a brand new Christian, just you could be Christian 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. If you follow Jesus for years, it doesn't matter. But being part of a local church is going to challenge you. And then it's going to inspire you on a journey to become everything that God has created you as an individual to be. And if we're honest sometimes, church is going to disappoint you. People are going to do things and say things that you wish they'd not done or said. And they might be right and you might be wrong and they might be wrong and you might be right. That doesn't matter because we're all imperfect. But if we're honest, sometimes it will disappoint you. But you must never let your disappointment in imperfect people reflect onto Jesus or cause you to take your eyes off Jesus, because Jesus will never disappoint you. Jesus is always perfect. So there's loads of different organizations, you know, that people can be a part of, and whether they're good for you or not will determine really what the benefits are that you get out of them. But always the law of sowing and reaping applies. You'll only get out according to what you put in. That's a universal law. That works in the world as well as it works in the church. So if you planted good seed, you will reap a good harvest in proportion to the effort that you put in planting that seed. You know, and if you planted very little seed because you're bone idle or bad seed, you're going to be disappointed with the harvest if harvest time does eventually come for you. But always remember this, it was you. Nobody else. It was you that did the sowing. Like I said, there's loads of different group, good groups. They're not all mutually exclusive either. You know, you can be in a photography group or a dancing. Eddie brought people to the church from a dancing group. They're not mutually exclusive. You can be a Christian and in a church family, but you can still be part of something else, and that's fine. But the greatest group on earth that you could be a part of, the group that has the most, the greatest amount, if you like, of meaningful benefits of any organization while we're still on planet Earth, well, that might not be for very long the way things are looking, but is the family of God that loves Jesus, the church family. And anyone can come. Everyone here, you know, has been here for years, but anyone could just walk in off the street and sit down. We're praying that will happen. But only Jesus can truly add real Christians to the church. And that happens in an instant, Facebook, like I just said a few minutes ago. An instant, the moment you are born again, and you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He said you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And that takes you into the universal church of Jesus Christ. And wherever you go in the world, you'll find brothers and sisters. But when I'm talking about the church family, I don't mean the universal church. I'm talking about a local church family, which ought to be and always used to be central to the community. But in recent years, the links between the church in general and the wider community have lessened and weakened, and has been a concerted effort on the part of probably Satan to make that happen. But I think God has used this pandemic. I think he's used this COVID. God uses everything. All things work together for the good of those who love God. I think he's used it to strengthen and reestablish the links between our church here and the community outside. And Steppy and Olivia have worked tirelessly throughout. They've fed hungry families. Some weeks, she said, we've fed 50 different families this week. I don't know how many it is in total. And she's been meeting some quite desperate people and working with local councillors who didn't want to know and were kind of left-wing, totally atheistic, but they've come really close and they're really helpful. And all that's gone on because we've been together with them. And, you know, we have had, they have, not claiming me because I haven't really done anything, but they, Olivia and Steppy particularly, and others who've helped, like Emma, I've had a really powerful impact, and our prayers have not gone unanswered. So, that's good news, isn't it? So this is our spiritual family within the universal family of God. And if you've become closely associated with that, which looking around and know that everybody has, it's where God has planted you. You didn't just turn up and decide it was you were coming here. God brought you. I don't know how he did it. Different ways, different means, different methods. But God plants people in the church where he wants them. It's where he thinks you can grow up spiritually, where you can receive what you need, but you can give back and other people will receive from you. That's what fellowship's all about. I don't just believe we fall into fellowships by chance. And no, we don't. I know the Holy Spirit has set us in to the church where he wants us. But when we're there, we have to catch the vision. God gives us the ability to catch the vision. Other people outside might think, they're crazy in that church. Crazy. But you won't think that. You'll think, no, I see where we're going. I see the vision. We had a girl come here once, and she gave me a right telling off. She said, you preach a love gospel. And I still can't figure out what she's on about. Of course I can preach a love gospel. God loves me. I'm supposed to love you. What's the problem? Oh, no, it's wrong. This love gospel. Okay. She couldn't catch our vision. Nothing wrong with her. Wherever she is now, I'm sure she's doing really good. And bless her. And want her to do really good. Somebody else came in. She said, you can't be the pastor here. You don't read the King James Bible. Her husband and her children had been coming for about 3 weeks. They loved it. So she decided she'd come and look us over and decide whether or not we were good enough. And she gave me a roasting because I don't read the King James Bible. Well, she's wrong. I do read it sometimes. But I need to make you all read it all the time in her eyes. She couldn't catch the vision that we can hear God in different ways from different translations, that we can enjoy what God has given to us as individuals and bring it together as a group. That's okay. Hopefully, that family, I really do, because them kids were lovely and the husband was a great guy. I really do hope they found a home. But if you come to a place, and this can happen over time, where you can't support the leaders of the church or the pastor's vision, because I see this cornerstone group getting bigger. I see a new church in Plattbridge. I see all of the churches pulling together, and whilst being a little bit different from each other, being one. And if you can't come to a place where you support that vision, don't try and change it, because you won't change me. People have tried it for years. It won't happen. Don't consider that possibly God is wanting you somewhere else, and he wants to use you. And it would be a good thing to pray about that and to speak to me and the other elders and leaders about that and see what the vision is. And if you can't get with it, say, I think we might have to part ways. But shall we part friends? And we would. Don't moan or complain in corners or criticize the leaders of your church. I'm talking to Facebook as well. I know there's lots of Christians out there who listen to this, and that's what they do. Criticize behind closed doors. Don't do that. If you can't bless your pastor, come and let me be your pastor. But tell him first. Say goodbye. I don't believe in your vision. I see a different vision elsewhere. I think God's moving me. Will you pray me out? And he will. That's why I'm with us. Didn't Richard pray us out? Blessed us. Pastors aren't perfect, though. I think probably Richard was. But I'm not. Sometimes they do need your loving feedback. They do need your correction. They do need you to say, you know, I think you... I get it a lot from Avish. Avish is quite willing to say, I've got a list of things I think you ought to do differently. I appreciate that. She's my family. She loves me. And she's saying that because she loves me. She's not letting me trundle on down a road that she doesn't think is the right road. Thank you. I know. We don't want to see people do that. I mean, I was really gutted this week to see Leroy Sané leave. He's gone to Bayern Munich. But I wish him all the best there. I didn't want him to go. I thought he should be part of our team, Manchester City. But no, Leroy felt the vision was not his anymore. He needed a new adventure, and off he's gone to Bayern Munich. But I can assure you that any pastor who puts Jesus first will want you to get the best out of what God wants for you. Want you to be your best, live your best life in the kingdom of God. And so we would never hold anyone back. And that's what I'm with Steppy and I. As I said, Richard just, no, I think it's right. I can't see you as a pastor, Robbie said to me, but I think you could probably write a ship for them. It was a bit of a mess at the time because a guy had died and people were confused and such. But he said, we'll bless you. We'll help you. Any help you need, come back. We'll teach you. We'll do what we can. And he did. And Ray Belfield helped me as well, who'd been a pastor in Wigan. Lots of people always want to help. Nobody wants to hinder. Everybody wants the word of God to go out and people to do the best for God. That's mature believers. That's what mature believers do. It's Jesus' body. It's also his army. And if he wants to move his troops around as he pleases, it's up to him. We just need to know it is him doing his strategic moving and not all sulking. Amen. This is just a, you know, I'm not saying anyone's in this place, by the way. I'm just re-establishing what church is before we start our study next week, which will be about the Holy Spirit. It's good to just take stock and say, well, what is the family? What do I believe? What do I belong to? Am I supposed to be in this particular place? And if we can say together, with confidence, we are together, tuku pamoja, then that's fantastic, isn't it? And we just move on. And that's going to be important in the months ahead. I don't want to be a prophet of doom. I don't want to put anyone in fear. I believe things are going to go well for the church, but I believe the enemy is going to come against the church and purify the church in a big way, and people will fall away. People will. But the strong will stand and rise up, and the power of Jesus will come into the church of God in new ways that we have not seen in this country before. And we need to be together. So let's just have a quick look at what church family really means. It is a place, a group of people where you can share your news. And sometimes your news will be good news, and other times it will be bad news. Right? But if you don't feel you can share your bad news, that's bad news. You should be able to tell us what's really on your heart. People have told me, and it was last week actually, I went to visit somebody as a cut in the course of my work, and they've told me they've never had anyone to share those great moments of joy that life brings. Never had anyone to tell. You know, something great happens, you get a promotion, or you overcome a challenge, or you achieve something that you're really, really proud of, but there was nobody to tell, to share it with. That's lonely, isn't it? Isn't that loneliness? You know, maybe there's just one or two people, but they're not really going to rejoice with you when they find out. They're kind of going to be a bit jealous. Why you, not me? Sort of attitude. So to have somebody who really rejoices with you, like in Luke 15, you know, the three losts in Luke, the first man lost his sheep, didn't he? When he found it, he called all his friends together. Why? To rejoice with him. And then that lady lost a coin, and there's a lot to that story. It's not, she just didn't just lose a shilling and find it. There's a meaning behind all that coin stuff and all that I'm not going to go into. But when she found it again, she called her friends and her neighbors together. Why? To rejoice with her, because it was meaning a big difference in her life. It was. We can't go into it, but it was. You look it up yourself. See, but we connect to these parables because we understand the excitement and the pleasure that we get from sharing our good news. It would be awful to be a massive raging success in life for me and not have a wife to go home and tell it to. And nobody else to care. I'd rather have the ability to share. And that's what you got in a church. When our children were born, we took them to the front of the church. And we dedicate him to the Lord. And I remember Ted Costello praying over him. But everybody there rejoicing with us for each one as they came. And when we were baptized, 21st of September 1986, we were baptized together in the same place. Everybody there stood up, gathered around the pool as close as they could get, wanting to share the moment with us. Hallelujah. But you know what? Sometimes there is bad news, isn't there? And it is just as important that we're able to share that tune, and we feel able and we feel safe in sharing that as well. Being a Christian doesn't mean you ain't going to go through some tough times. We do go through tough times, sometimes as a family, as a church, sometimes as you as an individual. But having a family around you and people you can share it with, that can make all the difference. It can be life or death in some cases. And I've learned that when bad news comes into your life, it's better to be surrounded by a group of caring souls who can share the hurt which dissipates it a little. It doesn't take it away, but it can help you carry the burden of it and lessen the pain and the load. But on the other hand, if you share your blessings with the church family, the blessings will be multiplied. Everyone will be blessed because you were blessed. There'll be opportunities within the body sometimes to help each other. Sometimes you'll be praying and God will put someone on your heart and you'll think, well, there's an issue there. There's a need there. You've not told anyone else and they've not told anybody. But you know, because God's told you, you can go meet that need. And you know what? There's nothing nicer, nothing more precious to know that God is talking to you to get you to help one of his other children. It is wonderful, isn't it, to pray and to hear the Lord as he puts that other believer on your heart. You can't outgive God. But what Paul wrote to the Philippians regarding giving and receiving, and that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying you could help somebody else, they might be in need. Chapter 4 and verse 15 of the book of Philippians says this, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then travelled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that church? The church that helped Paul, the church that helped the needy, the church that cared. Because none of the others did. Would you like to be the Philippian church? I would. I'd rather be part of that one. He says, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. And I'm not saying this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I've got everything I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. You see, part of the reward he's talking about there is that feeling of joy that they were used of God more than anyone else to help Paul. But he says there's a practical thing. God's practical. God's not just going to give you thrills and hairs up on your neck and goosebumps and tell you one day you'll be in heaven and it'll all be great. No, God rewards us here on earth as well. And in verse 19 he goes on to say, and this same God who takes care of me, because Paul knows God takes care of him, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So there's the practical. You can't outgive God. The apostle Paul, he was a hard-working guy. Sometimes he had to go back to his profession of tape-making tents to support his own mission. He didn't mind that. He was glad to do that. He was willing to do that, right? But the Philippians thought of themselves as his church family, and they wanted to free him up to stop tenting, stop making them tents, get out there on the mission field. And because of that, multitudes came in to the kingdom of God. Receiving is a good thing when it is done properly. The church at Philippi was the family where Paul was able to share the life and the burdens and the difficulties and the great things and the victories all at once. And they, together with him, lightened the load of the great work that he was called to do. I'm just going to read one more verse. I think I'm going to stop. I've got loads more, but I'm not going to go there. I think I've gone far enough. I just want to read you Philippians 4:3. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Now, Steppy put a message out last week sometime. I don't know what day it was now. But she asked, would people come and help to get the church ready? The building ready, because the building's not the church, is it? To get the building ready for the church to come together again. And she put that message out, and the next day she went to get on with the work, and the people were there who needed to do the job. They showed up. When I came home, I said, did you get any helpers? Oh, we've done it all. We got all the help we needed. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what God is wanting from us. That is family. Amen. So, one more thing. I said I was going to stop, but I will in a minute. Jesus said in John 4, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking. The eyes of the Lord are going backwards and forwards in the earth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We were brought into this world with the need to bow our hearts and our minds to the one true living God. And that's something that cannot be found anywhere else except in the church family. And of course, we all have them intimate times of worship on our own. We all get with God in our quiet times. We all feel the touch of God. Or we might want to come together. I've heard this morning about a little group of people who want to pray together, 4 or 5. That's good too. But when we're all together, Sunday morning, in a worship pattern that's come right from New Testament times, that's something that can only happen in a church family. When you're among a group of like-minded people who love Jesus and who love you and who worship and want to share the worship experience together with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want you to say thank you that you've brought your children together again, that the saints are gathered to worship you. You are worthy of all of our praises and our worship. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you that you've kept us through these difficult times and that you will continue to keep us, Lord. We bless you, we love you, we adore you, we worship you this morning, and we just say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.